2020, August the 23rd. The End of the Universe. Last week, I saw a new book. The title of the book is The End of Everything, Astrophysically Speaking. The title at once grasped my attention, and I bought the book. Last week, I clarified some popular mistaken notions about the end of the world. The return of Jesus to earth is not the end of the world. The return of Jesus will be the start of 1,000 years of universal peace when the Messiah will rule the world on God's behalf. And only at the end of the 1,000 years will come not only the end of the world, but the end of the universe. Another reason that I'm interested in buying the book is that the critics say the writer, an American cosmologist called K.T. Mack, is extremely good at explaining things that are difficult to understand and making it very easy to understand. And that is very attractive to me. So I bought the book. And after reading the book, it makes me want to talk to you about the end of the universe today. First, let me read to you a passage from the Bible, which also foretold the end of the universe. 2 Peter chapter 3, 7 to 13. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. Verse 8. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements, that is, the elements of the universe, will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Verse 11. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness? Verse 12. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. Verse 13. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness dwells. What striking description of the end of the present universe. What striking details about fire, the elements of the universe, the elements of all matter, which will be dissolved and melted with fire. Now, speaking about the end of the universe is like speaking about the death of the universe. And people, especially the Chinese people, on the one hand, do not want to think about death, and yet at the same time want to think about death in the secret place of their hearts. So we humans are self-contradictory. It is the same with the end of the world or the end of the cosmos. On the one hand, people don't want to think about the end of the world, yet at the same time, we want to know how the universe will end. Now today, in the USA, the new book, The End of Everything is number one bestseller. People want to know what will happen and how will our universe end? How will the human race end? Now today I'm speaking on the subject of the end of the universe, not because I have some morbid fascination about death or about destruction of the universe. Rather, because in both the Bible and cosmology, the beginning of the universe and the end of the universe are big questions. According to the latest findings in cosmology, there are a few possible endings for the universe. And one of these endings is the Big Crunch. The Big Crunch is somewhat like a multi-car crash on a motorway. The Big Crunch is the death of the universe by fire, by intense heat. But first, let us begin with a basic fact about the universe. The universe is expanding, and the expansion of the universe is like throwing an orange in the air. As the saying goes, what goes up must come down. In the same way, since we know the universe has been expanding and will continue to expand, there must be a time when the expansion will stop, and then the universe would contract. As the universe contracts more and more, galaxies will become too close to each other. They will begin to collide, and the end of the collisions will be catastrophic. The end will be a big crunch. The big crunch is somewhat like a multi-car crash on a motorway. First, galaxies will begin to collide, but worse still, radiation in space will increase in temperature. And with intense heat, the entire human race and all living things in the universe will be destroyed in intense heat. And after the death of the human race and all living beings, the galaxies themselves, black holes, even space itself, will all be destroyed in intense heat. Everything will be destroyed, annihilated, gone, including atoms, protons, neutrons, photons, even the smallest quantum particles. The manner with which the latest cosmology describes the end of the universe bears striking resemblance to the Bible. For example, the passage we just read, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 to 13. The resemblance is striking when we consider the times when the Bible was written. We know that the Bible was written more than 2,000 years ago. And at that time, people all believed that the universe was static. Yes, for a long time human beings thought our universe was static. And when did we, the human race, learn that the universe is not static? Only as recent as 1926. When the American scientist Edwin Hubble proved the universe was expanding. And the expansion of the universe has much to do with how the universe will end one day. But before 1926, even modern scientists, including Albert Einstein, believed that the universe was static. There is a second question, which is also a recent discovery. Whether the universe had a beginning, or the universe had no beginning and no end. Now, for a long time, there was no consensus about this question. Buddhism, for example, believes that the universe had no beginning and will have no end. And human beings need not bother themselves to find out how the universe began or how the universe will end. But the Bible, in contrast, believes that the universe had a beginning. In the beginning, the Creator God made the heavens and the earth. So, for a long time, there was no consensus to this question, not until the 70s of the last century did the scientists finally come to a consensus. If it had the beginning, how the universe came into being? Some scientists proposed the Big Bang Theory. But at the time when the Big Bang Theory was proposed, the Big Bang was at best a proposition. It has not been proven. And therefore, there was no consensus among astrophysicists that the Big Bang did really happen. And not to mention the other question, how did the early universe become the universe we know today? There was debate, but no consensus. Only in the year 2001, with the launching of the WMAP satellite into orbit, the proof that the Big Bang did happen came about. How they do it? Now, Cosmo telescopes all function from Earth. Only in the year 1990, the Hubble telescope is the first telescope that functions in space. They install the Hubble telescope onto the satellite and launch the satellite into orbit far above the Earth. In the year 2001, they launched the WMAP satellite into orbit far above the Earth, and from there took pictures of the universe. The pictures it took were pictures of the early universe, close to when the Big Bang took place, not photos of the present universe. And studying those pictures, it is like looking at photos of the Big Bang itself. And by these photos, the scientists proved, without a doubt, that the Big Bang did happen. It proved that the universe did have a beginning. It is not true the universe had no beginning and no end, as some supposed. And since the universe did have a beginning, it also proved the universe must have an end. Based on these photos of the early universe, cosmologists are able to piece together a fairly good picture of how it has evolved to the present universe. On the same basis, they've also learned much about how our universe will end one day. When I speak about the Big Crunch, we should first understand behind the Big Crunch model, there are two assumptions. Firstly, at the moment of the Big Bang, there was an initial push that caused the early universe to expand to this very day. Secondly, as the early universe expands, gravity counters the initial push. If there will be a time when gravity catches up with the force of the initial push, then the universe will stop expanding. It will begin to contract, and the final result is a Big Crunch. So these are the two basic assumptions that we must understand when we think about the Big Crunch. When I speak about the Big Crunch as a possible ending of the universe, I didn't mean to say that the Big Crunch is the only possible ending, but rather one of several possible endings of the universe. Another possible ending, called the Big Freeze, or sometimes called heat death, up to today, according to the latest findings of cosmology, is more likely to happen. Up to today, cosmologists think that a more likely ending for the universe is the Big Freeze, not the Big Crunch. What is the big freeze? What is it like? The big freeze is destruction of the universe by decay in co-isolation, darkness and emptiness. Based on the two assumptions we just heard, the big freeze is somewhat like throwing an orange in the air, but this time not by the human hand, but by putting the orange in a rocket and launching the rocket from Earth. This time, what goes up doesn't come down again, because the force of the rocket far exceeds that of the gravity of the Earth. So, the Big Freeze model is like carrying an orange in a rocket into deep space. The force of the initial push of the Big Bang is much greater than gravity. It causes the universe to keep expanding without ever stopping, without ever contracting. In that scenario, distance between galaxies becomes infinitely bigger. In the end, the universe itself becomes infinitely big. And the result of that is catastrophic, because by that time, everything will be isolated from everything else. Everything will start disintegrating in increasing isolation, cold darkness and emptiness. And that is the big freeze. The destruction of the universe by disintegration, by decay in complete cold isolation, darkness and emptiness. So, I've mentioned two possible endings of the universe. There is a third and a fourth, but I will not go into them now. The crucial question is, how do we know which possible endings is the more likely? Is it the Big Crunch, death of the universe by intense heat, or the Big Freeze, the end of the universe by extreme cold isolation? Well, the truth is, the scientists can't be certain due to many uncertainties. The Big Crunch, the Big Freeze, and the other possibilities are all possible. The fact is, knowledge about the end of the universe is still very limited. In particular, knowledge about the mysterious dark energy, a crucial factor of the end of the universe, is still very limited. There are simply too many uncertainties about the properties of the dark energy, about how precisely dark energy behaves in different settings. So in the end, when there comes a moment when scientists find something new about the behavior of the dark energy, these different models that they propose and the probabilities of the end of the universe will all have to be revised. At the time, the Big Freeze, which means destruction by cold isolation, might become the less probable model. And the Big Crunch model, that is, end of the universe by intense heat, might become the most probable model. The scientists can't be certain. There are simply too many uncertainties about the properties of the mysterious dark energy, about how precisely dark energy behaves in different settings. One thing is absolutely certain. Namely, there will be no escape from destruction for the human race when the end of the universe takes place. Think about it. Whether you think about the Big Crunch model or the Big Freeze model, when the end of the universe happens, even atoms, protons, neutrons, photons, even the smallest quantum particles will not escape annihilation. How will human race expect to survive? The truth is, no living thing will survive the end of the universe. On that day, galaxies, black holes, even space itself, everything will be destroyed. With one exception, and I will come to that momentarily. But first, some scientists, of course, hope to find an escape route for humanity before the end of everything comes. The most famous example of this is one made by Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking proposed the idea of quantum tunneling, a sort of fire exit from this present universe that we know into another universe that we don't know. And there, hopefully, human beings will make a new start. Well, while that idea is admirable, what the Bible reveals about an escape route from final destruction is very different from what scientists say. The Bible says, on that day when Jesus returns to earth, and when the kingdom comes to earth, only those people who take part in the resurrection, that is, those who will be granted immortality by God, like Jesus was granted immortality, only such people will survive the end of the universe and enter into new heavens and a new earth, while the rest of the universe will be destroyed completely in intense heat. This is how the Bible revelation differs from cosmology. In closing, I'd like to read to you two passages selected from the New Testament scriptures. First, the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4 to verse 6. Then I saw thrones, and those seated on them were given authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. These people came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Over these people, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Christ 1,000 years. The Revelation chapter 19, 4 to 6. And now let me read to you what I read in the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting from verse 8 to verse 13. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements, that is, the elements of the universe, will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Verse 11. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. Verse 13. But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. I hope you have learned something important about the end of the universe. And more importantly, I hope you have been inspired to see the striking similarities between what the Bible foretold long ago and what cosmology teaches us today. For me, learning the latest findings of cosmology on the end of the universe has increased my faith in the Bible and my appreciation for it. I hope it will do the same to you. God bless you. I'll see you next time.